Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote, Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever met someone who is called the energy nurse? Yes, you heard me right, the energy nurse. Would you like to learn more about using your own energy to heal yourself? Have you ever wanted to know how to stay out of your own way? Well, believe me, I'm still working on that one. Can you imagine finding oneness within yourself? I'm working on that one, too. Tell me, do you know what the 18 principles for success are? Have you ever heard about a book called Getting to Know You, Guided Pearls of Wisdom for a More Soulful Existence? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to discover your own energy? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a success coach extraordinaire. She will provide us with wonderful, inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I am pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media at iHeartRadio and on Blog Talk Radio. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed last year. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. Her official title is Energy Nurse. She works with the human energy system to aid in the healing process and shows people how to use this side of them. She recognizes the energetic system to be as important as the physical body. At a young age, she was able to see and sense the energy around her. After the death of her father when she was only 10 years old, she became more receptive to the energy. Her guides and angels made their teachings more accessible to her. In addition, she is a registered nurse, certified healing touch practitioner, and a certified coach. I am pleased to welcome to the show Carolyn Green. Hi, Carolyn. How are you doing?
I'm great, January. How are you?
Wonderful. And I'm so interested in talking to you. Let's start at the beginning. Before your dad died, who were your early mentors and what do you remember most about your early years?
I remember a lot about my early years. I remember from 2 years old. Oh. And I could remember being in the crib. I mean, actually, I don't know why. I can't remember all this yesterday, but I can remember, you know, back to 2 years old, right. Oddly enough. I can remember being receptive when I look back since I'm about 2 to 3 years old. And as far as I was a social child, but I was very sensitive to lights and sounds and a lot of crowds, and I would go to birthday parties. I'd kind of sit in the corner with all the strobe lights going off because years ago they loved all those 16-millimeter films, you know, of the kids at the party and et cetera. My dad was loved photography and had strobes in my eyes all the time. It made me crazy. Later on in life, I did, you know, done some camera work and modeling and all that. I liked it then, but under more controlled circumstances. But, however, I lost my dad tragically at 10 years old, and I was left with my mother, thank God, and a 2-year-old sister that I helped raise with a wonderful family. My early mentors, I remember so much about my dad, where I was in the place where I can, and unfortunately my sister really couldn't because she was so young, other than some pictures. But I'll tell you, he was an extraordinary man with eclectic interests. My mom, after losing her husband so suddenly, it was very difficult, but she was just a very, very strong persona. And so I emulate my mom in a lot of those ways, as well as my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Was very, very grateful, thank goodness, to have a wonderful, cohesive family. So, you know, the term we use nowadays takes a village. It really did. It took a big village. But when everybody pulls together and there's strong connection there, whether your biological family or whether your friends, it's a wonderful thing and really helps to help people be successful in life. And it set a strong foundation for me as far as never giving up. There's always truth to be sought. You're never alone. So,
How old were you when you started to sense the energy around you, and how old were you when your guides and angels contacted you and made their teachings accessible to you?
When I go back to 11 or 12, I would say around puberty.
Mm-hmm.
If I go back, when I look at certain instances, it was before that, but at that point it wasn't recognizable because things were normal to me.
Mm-hmm.
So when things are normal, until you become old enough and socialize and find that not everybody senses these things, it's not so normal.
Well, now, what was the first experience like with where you were able to have this spiritual experience with a guide or as you say, an angel?
I was it was 1989 when I started to become, I'd say, clairaudient.
Uh-huh.
When I was a child, I was seeing etheric figures around me. It was normal to me, so I always knew I was being watched. I wouldn't say communicated with them. I guess that's where I got some of the strength from. But I will tell you, oddly enough, and I wish I don't know whatever happened to it, as a young child, after my dad died, 10, 11 years old, I kept a diary at night, and I would write in it before I went to sleep. And I called it Dear Dad. And what I did was, Dear Daddy, I had a really rough day at school today. I was bullied. I felt whatever it was. And then all of a sudden, I would be writing answers to the questions that I would ask him. And I would and I wish I had that diary, because that is when I recognize now being clairaudient, because when I became clairaudient, that's exactly how it was. I was writing what I'm hearing till this day, and that's how this book was written.
Okay, now, so clairvoyant is different than clairaudient. Give me a definition of what does clairvoyant mean?
Clairvoyant means clear seeing, and so there's telepathic, you can see with your non-physical eyes, you could see with your physical eyes, which I have the ability to do also. That I knew for a long time. The clairaudience was a little different as I started to recognize I'm hearing voices. So when that had started, I totally checked myself out, like psychologically, just to make sure. Sure, because as a nurse, you know, you study all of these things. But I knew this was most likely coming from the metaphysical level. And it truly was. And I started writing questions, and I got the answers. And one night when this started happening, I was up for 2 solid nights. I couldn't stop writing.
Oh, my gosh. Now, did you share this with your mother or other people? What was their reaction?
Yes, I was lucky enough to grow up into an open family. When I was younger and I was seeing energy all around, I would tell my mother. I once saw my great-grandmother in the middle of the night, like a full entity. And my grandparents were actually visiting in the house, and they said they knew that was my great-grandmother. So it was never poo-pooed, which, you know, makes a very, very big difference, because a lot of adults that I coach today are very, very open, but this was very taboo because that's their family beliefs, culture, religious indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it really changed their aspect, and they become afraid of really who they are.
Okay.
So I was lucky, very, very lucky in that respect.
Okay, so now you had this childhood experience with energy, so you could see and you could also hear voices. Is that what led you into becoming a nurse in order to help other people? How did your nursing career come around?
My mother's sister, my aunt, was a nurse. And when I was growing up, my grandmother always says, "What do you want to be?" I always wanted to be. I wanted to be a Rockette, if you want to know the truth. I lived in New York. Loved to dance. Want to be a Rockette. My mom says, "You know, you better find something a little bit more stable, and then you can do your dance."
Yeah.
So my grandmother says, "Don't you want to be a nurse?" I'm like, "I don't know. Don't you?" Whatever. I finally decided I really did want to be a nurse.
Uh-huh.
And I did want to help people. And that was just, it just seemed to be second nature to me. And as I became more into nursing and experiencing it, I was really able to sense a lot of things within people, really having that hands-on. Coincidentally enough, I married a chiropractor. And we've been married for 35 years. So it was into energy work. That's energy work in itself, and natural healing. So I had to find my niche within the traditional medical world, which I applaud and have a great respect for. It's fantastic. And I found my niche. And I found my niche in ambulatory surgery and pre- and post-op, able to teach patients, able to get them home into their own environment very quickly. And it was a much more comfortable place for me after working a few years on, you know, on the floor traditionally. I then became and started to take classes in acupressure and natural healing.
Okay.
When, I guess, I'm trying to think how many years ago, it's been quite a few years ago, about 8 years ago, I really became driven to find a modality of energy work that I could use nursing where it could be accepted.
Okay.
And that was a pivoting point for me.
Uh-huh. And tell us what you discovered. Were you able to accomplish this?
Absolutely. I started doing a lot of internet research and went on to the American Holistic Nurses Association site. They have a slew of accredited courses in energy work, in natural medicine and alternative medicine that is actually accredited by the holistic nurses. And that's when I found my way to Healing Touch, which allowed me to be able to learn energetic anatomy, learn energetic treatment, and actually learn the terminology to document this in a hospital, because there are quite a few hospitals now that are bringing energy work onto the floor.
But it has
to have a language to it. It's a very different language.
Uh-huh. Now, do you use your clairvoyance with your patients? Do you see or hear things that you share with them that help them with their recovery?
Yes, all the time. I integrate everything. When a client comes to me, they fill out a health history, psychosocial history. We go through all of that. And then I do some, you know, my physical assessment, and I do my whole energetic assessment as I'm telling them things that are going on. When there's a lot of issues at hand, and I start to hear guidance and hear their guides or my guides, and everything starts flowing. And it's great because sometimes people, it really brings, it's the aha moment.
I bet.
Let's put it that way. It's a aha moment. They go, "How did you know that person?" I'm like, "I don't know anything. Don't have an original thought in my head, actually, but I can hear."
Well, this is very exciting, and I'm so enjoying sharing this with our listeners. We're going to take a break now and hear from two of our sponsors. And when we come back with Carolyn Green, the energy nurse, we're going to talk about the 18 principles. Actually, we're going to talk about how she came about writing her book and the 18 principles that she shares with us in her book. We'll be right back with Carolyn Green.
Pam Evans has been married and divorced four times and lived to tell the tale with honesty, humor, and a heartfelt message. Check out Pam's first book, Ring Exchange, Adventures of a Multiple Marrier, where she shares her hard-won lessons about behavior, emotions, relationships, and her marriage partner choices. Learn more about Pam's road less traveled and how she anticipates every day with joy and a sense of gratitude. Visit Pam's website at www.ring-exchange.com. Her book is available on Amazon.com, too. Everyone deserves a happy life. Life is supposed to be fun. Your life is supposed to feel good, and you're meant to feel happiness in your life and to satisfy your dreams. And you can. Because the only reason anyone wants anything or does anything is that they think they will feel better in the having of it or the doing of it. They think they will feel better in the experiencing of it. Coming soon, a website where you can learn more on how you can have the life you deserve at afeelgoodworld.com.
Welcome back, and Pam Evans will be on the show next week, and also Dale Bruner will be coming back next month to share more about his wonderful website. We're back with Carolyn Green, and Carolyn's hope is that after reading her book, people will take away the knowledge of how powerful they are as individual healers. She believes that if people can connect their ability to a grander level, that will enhance the way we cope and move through our life. The sheer experience of life extends the timeless gift of knowing. In general, we are all caretakers of others, but we often neglect ourselves as life gets busy. Carolyn says, I want people to learn ways to cope with their physical, emotional, and mental stressors so those things aren't swept under the rug. How long did it take you to write your book?
The book took about 4 months. And it didn't take a long time. All the editing and all the technical things, well, those type of things took a longer time. And I know you've written quite a few books, so you can understand that one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can edit it from now till whenever. You know, it's never edited enough. However, it took 4 months. What happened was we were going through a really difficult time in my family. I have three children, and one of my children was diagnosed with an acute chronic condition, autoimmune, that really pulled the rug under us from everybody, obviously, in the family. When one goes down, it's very difficult. Even being a nurse, and my husband is a physician, I'm very grateful for that, but it was very, very difficult, and it was very exhausting. So during that time, one day my husband came home from work, and I was up 24/7 for weeks with my daughter going through this acute stage of this illness. Mm-hmm. And I'm clearly exhausted. And as soon as my husband came home one day, I just said, I'm going to local coffee house. I'm just going to get a chamomile tea and just bring a book and my iPod, and I just need to chill. Mm-hmm. Before that, let me just back up a bit. I have been channeling messages for quite a few years and, you know, a couple of times a week. That morning, I took my younger girl to school, and I would go to a nearby lake before I went home, and I would get my message. Mm-hmm. From my guides and angels. That night when I went out to the coffee house, I did not bring my notebook. I always have my notebook in the car because you never know, you know, when they want to give you a message. And I do put my messages on hold, which is great, you know, and then we'll dictate them at another time when I have time. But however, I took my notebook in to put it in the computer to transcribe it. Did not yet have a chance. As I'm going out, I just really wanted to chill. I was exhausted mentally and physically and, frankly, at my wit's end, to be honest with you, in a lot of ways. And I hear my guide say, take your notebook. And I'm thinking, thank you very much, guys. Love it. You know, I'm going out to relax now. I hear, take your notebook. I finally... take my who am I to argue, you know?
Right, sure.
Can't argue. They'll get you one way or another in a positive way, but they'll get your attention. So I took my notebook in the car. I get to my destination. I didn't take my notebook. I mean, take your notebook. Fine, whatever. Took my notebook. I found a cozy chair. This is all in the book, the pre-story. And I hook my iPod up for like 3 seconds, all of a sudden information download. And when, when you connect or learn to connect and get that frequency going, it's like, it's really like downloading into a computer, and the information starts to come fast and furious. And you don't really know what it says. You're just listening. And being on radio, you know, and you know about ear prompters and all of that. And it's basically like having your internal ear prompter. Uh-huh. So that is wonderful. However, usually when I connect, I will write a question that I have or an issue I'm trying to deal with, and I'm asking for guidance. This time, I'm writing, I'm like, and they're giving me the question. They're giving me the question. They're giving me the answers. They're telling me the whole story. This is what we're going to do. This is what you're going to go through. There's going to be 18 awarenesses. You're going to work through them yourself. This is to be shared, but you must work through it yourself first. And you will get them, all of these awarenesses, in a timely manner when you succeed and start to assimilate one and work with it.
Okay, this is very exciting because I have had some experience myself with some of my writing where it's been channeled, and it's exactly the way you describe it. You are busy putting stuff into the computer, and you don't really even know what you've done until the next day when you sit down and read it. It's quite an experience. How long did it take you to conquer or do the 18 concepts yourself?
4 months. It was over a 4 month period. There was a lag time for a couple of weeks because at one point I said, am I ready for Principle 9 or Awareness 9, as we call it? And they're like, no, you're not. I go, okay. I thought I was kind of caught up. I'm doing the homework they're telling me. I'm going through all the steps. You know, I'm catching my breath. It allowed me to catch my breath. And I will tell you that as connected as I was, this was a clearly a personal journey that we all share. And that was the exciting part because, as you know, as coaches, as nurses, we do work on ourselves all the time. But sometimes life really, I mean, life happens all the time and we're thrown a curveball. But how am I supposed to help anybody else, whether it's nursing, without taking the course? You know, I couldn't become a nurse without going through training. I had to take the course. Then sometimes we're sick as nurses. That's not fun. You know that. Doctors and nurses, worst patients, you know that it's not fun. And we're not pretty. We are not easy. But we have to sometimes experience that, right? So then when we go back to our practice, we're maybe a little bit more compassionate, a little bit more mindful. Well, it's the same thing with this work. The reality of it is what I do, the connection you have, we all have the ability to do. And what is so wonderful, it allows you to breathe. It allows you to take your own introspective journey and allows you to really trust in yourself. Because I will tell you, from my perspective, all universe wants is for you to, each individual on this earth, to feel validated, to feel important as if you were the only human in the big forest of life. And if you were walking alone in the forest and you knew you were the only human on this big planet, that you would feel validated from within, from universe, from Mother Earth, from the trees, that you will know that. And to have somebody pat you on the back and say, great job, Carolyn January, I love your work, great job, it feeds us, and it's a wonderful thing. But in order for us to do that, and even have, I think, some of the confidence to go out there and do that, we have to validate ourselves. But we have to know that from within. We don't have to do anything, but it would be productive to validate, to learn that validation and feel that validation. Always know you do not walk alone, and we all are connected. All of us are connected. And if people understood that, this world would be a very different place, and there would be a lot more respect for humanity and mankind.
Absolutely. Now let's briefly go over the 18 concepts of awareness that will help clear non-productive thought patterns that are affecting your daily lives. I'm just going to say we have just before our break, just a minute. I'm going to say chapter one, principle one, oneness. Could you just give me one short sentence about that?
Sure. This I would have thought would have been number 18, which kind of blew me away when I got this as oneness, because I think that's what we would all attain for. But it just, you know, it just discusses, it starts to discuss 18 principles, and it further goes into how we perceive oneness. Everybody defines that differently because we all come from different backgrounds, and there's no right or wrong answer. It is what it is for you. So that is your baseline. You know, this is where, and I have room in the book, it's a workbook as well, where what is your baseline of the definition of oneness for you? Because then, and I thought it was brilliant the way the guides actually set it up and going out, you know, to get your baseline data. And even in nursing, we have to, you take your assessment and you get your baseline. And I mean, in medicine as well, right? And then you take it from there. You know, in any discipline, you have to collect your data and get the baseline. And that's what oneness is. And it talked about the evolving process that changes as one progresses through their lifetime. And it's integrating physical, mental, and spiritual bodies. My guides talk about PMS. They want the whole world to have PMS, including the guys. They got to have it too.
Okay.
So physical, mental, and spiritual.
We're going to take a pause for a sponsor break. It's not quite PMS, but almost. And then we come back. We're briefly going to go through some of the other principles. We'll be right back with Carolyn Green.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredimski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes. People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions. Welcome back, and I want to thank Tom Ingracia and Jared Kraminski. They filled in for me on the show last week when I had a conflict, and they did a fantastic show with Ken McDonald. Also, I want to remind everyone, if you are interested in reading 2 free chapters of Priceless Personalities, all you need to do is go to www.januaryjones.com. Sign on with your name and email, and you can download the first 2 chapters for free. We're back with Carolyn Green, and we're discussing the 18 principles of awareness. Carolyn, principle 2, stance. Briefly tell us what that means.
It's hard to be brief on that because it's probably one of the most complex messages. And that's a message that will have to be read several times, along with all of these messages, by the way. They're not that long, and I would suggest people read them 3 times, one for physical, mental, and spiritual assimilation. But basically, the short note, stance is all about how we posture ourselves in life. There's, you know, the guides talk about 3 different types of stance, and the first one is the physical, and that's the outermost, how we show ourselves to the world. On the simplest, you know, physical level, you know, whether it's through our job or what we do or how we choose people to really see us.
Okay.
You know, and then it goes into a more of an internal stance and posturing, and it starts to go a little bit deeper. Much deeper. And like, as I want to try to make this brief, you know, and however, and then the third one is really starting to get that connection on a stance of a whole nother level, and really starting to feel your energy, your energetic body, your soul, who you really are. And it's all about integration, because I will tell you, through my experience with all my writings, through my experience with my clients, through my experience with me personally, when you start to recognize how powerful we are as energy beings, and we are all wired for it, it creates automatic boundaries that are very healthy. If you start to create an energetic boundary with people around you and the world around you, that automatically takes care of the physical and the mental.
Oh, wow.
That's terrific. Yeah, it's a whole mindfulness. You're talking about awareness training, entrainment, and reestablishing healthier habits and thought patterns and clearing the old. You know, it's really hard. You know, you can go to a buffet and keep piling your plate and piling your plate, you know, with all this wonderful food, and that plate's going to drop. If you don't clear that plate to take on the next course, it's just, you're going to get awful indigestion.
Okay. This is very powerful stuff. Principle 3 addresses standardization of self. Briefly, tell us about that.
Standardization of self is how we learn to take care of ourselves. The way you might, the way I might, the way anyone that we know will, is going to be very individual. And as we start becoming more introspective, we really start to know what our needs are on a physical, mental, and spiritual note. With that said, the guides give a lot of credence to Abraham Maslow, who's like the modern father of psychology. And I could remember back in nursing school and in my basic psychology classes, he was very much recognized on the, if you may remember or may not, in the pyramid of needs, you know, the, from the most basic up to self-actualization.
Right.
And really, validation. So standardization of self has a lot to do with that on a basic level, but as you become more introspective, it might, you know, for instance, sometimes I just, I mean, I need my quiet time. I'll go into a closet. I don't care. You know, the world, you know, I've come out of that as well. You know, with this work, and I'm proud of it. You know, I've come out of the broom closet, and I'm not going back. You know, I knew.
Very good.
But it's true. You know, it's taken a long time. I mean, people have known me, you know, my family, my friends, they've known how I am all my life. It got to be the point where the guys go, this is ridiculous. You know, you're going to explode with all of this information. It's got to go
somewhere.
As long as you're using it first, because then we know you're hearing it, you're practicing it, you know, within reason, you know, within reason.
Yeah.
And if you're not, we're going to be reminding you. And it does happen all the time, as I remind my clients about certain things, and I'm like, I'm hearing the little voice, did you check in with that lately, Carolyn?
Let me ask you a question. When you refer to your guides and the people, the spirits that channeled this, was there one or were there many? Or who were you getting this information from?
That's a whole other show, but we can do that another day. seriously, it's a collective. This is really interesting. We can backtrack a little bit and steer me in another direction, whatever you know, if you want to. Here's the thing. When I started hearing that first time, I actually came out of a class, and my mother introduced me to a teacher, a couple of teachers who were holding a class on development. And so my mother brought me into this class, and he was a well-known hypnotherapist in the area, and he took us on this journey, and all of a sudden I found teaching us to meditate and become quiet and within our own sacred space. I found myself in a library. I found myself greeted by this being in this library, and if I saw him on the street, I would know who he is. I didn't think anything of it until 3 days later. I'm driving in the car and I'm hearing voice. And I said, oh my goodness, where's that? And then I said, I kind of poo-pooed that. A couple days later, I'm hearing the same thing. what they were doing. The voice actually was a depressed voice, which concerned me. What mm-hmm. What the guys did was they sent out like a test pilot, a test frequency. It was a distress call if I could hear it and answer it. Well, this nurse answered the call. I'm telling you, I have the original writings, and I'd love to share that with you sometime, you know, because it's really fascinating. Once I picked up the distress call, I finally said, okay, who are you and what do you want? And boy, did that come through. I'm dealing with a collective, and they have several teachers, 20 some, I'm sure they're more in the background, and they've come to me through meditation, in vision, specifically with a face, a name, and their role.
Wow.
Yes, it's really powerful. And magic happens. Listen, I live near Disney World. Magic happens, you know. I believe in magic.
Well, this certainly would be a whole other show, because I certainly would like to have you tell us of what they look like and their names and the roles they played. But, okay, that you answered that question.
It's a collective, and they're all denominations, you know, from God, you know. There's no question. And what I like about it is they're, you know, the different factions, because it's very specific for me or for what I do, and if I need to call upon one of my guides to help me work with this patient's breath, they usually call me. They usually come in and say, look, Carolyn, this person is not breathing properly. We are going to show you how to get them in tune with the rhythm of their body. Listen. Listen to what we're saying. Okay?
They're that specific, right?
Very specific.
How fascinating.
It is fascinating. And
will you be writing a book about how you wrote the book?
Yes, I can. I'm getting through this one. And yes, there's a lot of books. I've got hundreds of messages and wonderful, wonderful stories of validation through through my patients and myself. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh. Fantastic. Well, let's briefly, before we go to break, let's talk about creation of consciousness.
I love this one. Okay. Creation of consciousness, we step into many worlds every day. The energy field around us is our own world. It's our own microcosm. And everybody has this infinite energy field, and quite huge. It is infinite if they realize it, and they usually soon do realize it. But we do step into it. Anytime you have an interaction with people, you're stepping into their world. But the whole thing with creation of consciousness, and I love this, that first quote that you said about the sheer experiences of life extends a timeless gift of knowing was one of the first things I heard from Spirit. That was a quotation from Spirit. This other one, you know, states creation of consciousness is simply a thought on the most simplistic of levels connected to a divinity which comes back to you. It's an energetic wave of consciousness. We can think something and it can be manifested.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Okay, that I'm on board, because that's my mantra. If you think it, you can do it. And everyone has that ability within them. I think a lot of people don't realize it. This is great, powerful stuff. We're going to take a break and have another commercial, and we'll be right back with Carolyn Green.
Nicholas Hazel is a senior member of the Association of Applied and Therapeutic Humor and author of Laughter, the Drug of Choice. Scientific research is discovering that our bodies only hurt when we don't laugh. For anyone interested in a laugh-out-loud collection of medical terms and poetical music, often at the expense of health professionals' love and life, Laughter, the Drug of Choice, is just what the doctor ordered. What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven, international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play, and well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts, check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
I just want to share with everyone, I just made my reservations and travel plans to attend the AATH convention in Vincennes, Indiana, April 3rd through the 6th. Nick Hazel will be there, and so will many of my other guests who have been on the show. If you can join us, we'd love to have you. We're back with Carolyn Green, and we're talking about the 18 principles of awareness with, actually, Carolyn, we're never going to get through them, so you must promise you will come back for another show.
I would love to. I would love
Okay. We will schedule that. Because I know we're going to sign off and everyone's going to say, well, oh, we only got through five or six. Let's talk about the principle, awareness principle five, completion of present time.
Okay. It basically addresses our pressure of time constraint and tasks at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we had this understanding when we were younger, a lot of things is we diagnose people with ADHD and all of that probably would not be used so much today.
Mm-hmm.
We put so much stress on ourselves about focusing tasks in hand and setting, it's learning to set the boundaries around that.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you what I've learned, and I always thought I was a procrastinator. You know, writing
yeah.
a book and getting it together. I don't know if anyone else can relate to that. But,
I can.
Yeah. Thank you. So trying to get writing the book was easy. Trying to get everything together, it was really difficult, and because life was getting in the way, and I was still nursing my child and family and trying to work, and this was done in my quote-unquote spare time. So mm-hmm. I learned to, when the publisher was saying, okay, is this ready? Is it, how's the chapters going? Whatever. And I'm like, okay, yes, no, I'm going to get to it. You know, it's been, my two time frames now are whenever and eventually. And the reason I say that is because
okay.
I can say it with conviction because I completed this task. It's mm-hmm. learning also to say no when you need to say no because you need
uh-huh.
the time to complete your specific tasks at hand. And I call that the no angel. It's okay to say no. Okay, because what's happening is it becomes a stressor. All of these stressors on time and task management and life really impacts our immune system constantly. There's so many, you know, punches into the energy field, you know, and into
mm-hmm.
the immune system and the adrenals. And it just starts a whole chain reaction, including inflammation of, you know, the body, and we know where that leads to. So what I'm hoping that people take away from this book is to learn to connect within yourself, but first do the homework. Do the research on yourself. Do the introspection. There are points to ponder at each chapter that was given to me for people to work through. I did that
mm-hmm.
myself. You know, I do clearings almost daily, even if it takes
okay.
2 seconds. It's
right.
starting to be mindful and create healthy boundaries. That is the most important because you create healthy boundaries. It gives you the control. Let people step into the world of you on your terms, but on a healthy
uh-huh.
term, and not
right.
not to do things for narcissistic purposes. When I talk about to people, it's like it's all about you, but on a humble level and a non-narcissistic level, on a heart-centered level. If you need to say no to somebody because you have to get something done for you, it's okay. It comes from a heart-centered place versus a narcissistic place. Does that make sense? Am I making sense?
Yes, and we've talked about this so many times on the show, for people to be able to say no, and it's such a difficult thing for so many people. Principle 6, demolition of the defiant. In many cases, less is more. And you talk about walking away from frustrating situations, especially verbal ones. Would you elaborate on that?
Yes. You know, don't be pulled into the drama. You know, the
uh-huh,
guys, like,
okay.
you know, talk about reality shows. Every day is a reality show. You know, it's a reality
mm-hmm.
check. And so many times, though, we also find ourselves fighting against ourselves. or we want to be pleasers. We want to please the world, mm-hmm. and that's why we don't want to say no. We want to take care of everybody. It's great to take care of everybody, but guess what? You know, sometimes the doctor and the nurse have to go in the hospital for them to be in bed. You know, you have to take care of yourself. And let me elaborate on this thing. Once we take care of ourselves within reason in an integrative aspect, physical, mental, and spiritual, with the philosophy that we are all connected into the internet of consciousness, we are all connected, that when we do something for ourselves, we do it for everybody else because all connected.
Connected. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you state here that you've seen this work for clients who are still in contact with their ex-husbands and family members who have berated them, as well as mainstream domestic and civil relationships. Once we learn to dissolve our own defiance and learn what originally set it off, we will see the people around us do the same. And you're advocating leave the drama out of your life, aren't you?
As much as possible. As much as possible. Mm-hmm. If you create an energetic boundary, and of course the book tells more about that, but really, and again, you're talking about mindfulness and awareness, and you do the clearing on yourself and you lighten the energetic weight that will affect the entire system of your body, mm-hmm. the highest vibration will rule, period.
Okay.
The highest, everybody will be brought up to your vibration. You know, it's because you're pulling them up from the ground floor, but in a much healthier way on your terms.
And fantastic.
When we change a little bit and we clear ourselves and we have a lighter heart and we start to refocus in a healthier perspective, it's interesting to watch the people around you after a mm-hmm. short period of time once they're around your energy. It's a whole different vibe.
Well, you know, Carolyn, we've done 6 awareness principles, and I definitely will have you back for my listeners to go through the last 12 principles that we really want to share with everyone. We're just getting into this. We will schedule you again. Before we go, would you tell us, our listeners, what success means to you today as we speak?
You know, I've been thinking about that because there's so many forms of success. Read my book, I will be successful. That's one thing. Sorry, how to get that in.
Yeah, of course.
Identification. Here we go. No, but
you know what? It just occurred to me, we never did do your website. So let's put that plug in right now. Where's your website and where can they get the book?
TheEnergyNurse.com. You mm-hmm. can also find me on Facebook/EnergyNurse. Please contact me. You can get it through Balboa Press and Amazon, and through my website, theenergynurse.com, and where you'll find some other information. And if you want to contact me and I'm going to start doing Skype sessions, mm-hmm. whatever is needed. So what a success. This is just amazing because as I'm talking, the success is stillness within my being.
Oh, okay, good.
Stillness, to be able to breathe and feel like a whole person connected to the world around me so I can be healthy and productive. Because if I can stay healthy for myself, the people around me, other successes will come. I will be able to continue to work. I will be able to continue to have fun in life and to travel. Success and having that stillness and centering will allow me to have healthy relationships and draw people around me for healthy relationships. And this,
wonderful.
This message is for everybody.
And, you know, that message is for everyone. And our other message is that Carolyn will be back on the show. Go to energynurse.com. Check out her website.
Yes,
to
the
my
Energy
one,
Nurse, sorry.
The Energy
put in
Nurse.
Put in the.
Okay, The Energy Nurse. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today. Hasn't she been amazing? My upcoming guests will amaze, amuse, and astonish you just like Carolyn. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. Now remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Thank you to Carolyn Green. www.theenergynurse.com. And this is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.